taking God at His word? How many of you believe you can take God at His word? How many of you, when God said it, it's good, right? It's good to do it, amen? If God said it, you can believe it and you can count on it. Hey, Joni Everson Todd, who's actually a quadriplegic from an accident she had, I believe while diving in a, I don't know if it was in a swimming pool or something, but she is a powerful woman of faith and a powerful woman of ministry, even as a quadriplegic, but she wrote this quote. She says, faith isn't the ability to believe long and far into the misty future. It's simply taking God at His word and taking the next step. Faith isn't the ability to believe long and far into the misty future. It's simply taking God at His word and taking the next step. So today by faith we say thank you for being here. We say thank you guys for joining us today online, and we welcome you. And I hope that God's been good to you this week. Well, God's always good. I hope that you see the goodness of God. But we welcome you to join us today. And Lord bless you. Just let us know you're here. Wave at us. Give us a thumbs up. If you have a prayer request, if you want to put that there, you can. But thank you for joining us today. Amen. God is so good, isn't He? All the time. And all the time, God is good. And I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, even when we walk through difficult circumstances, or even when we walk through things we don't understand, it doesn't change who God is, does it? Amen. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will always do what He said He will do. He can. He's God. There's nothing too hard for God today, whether it's praying for sickness, or whether it's praying for financial blessings, or whether it's just praying for faith to believe more, or just praying to be encouraged or strengthened in your walk. God is good. You know, Paul had this experience, and I want to look a little bit at that this morning for just a few minutes. Paul had this experience with the Lord. Well, Paul had a lot of experiences with the Lord. We'll look at some of that here in a minute. But Paul, he was walking through this difficult situation in his life. And we can see that in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, some scripture today that I want to share with you. And it's about Paul's mission and his thorn in the flesh. Anybody ever had a thorn in the flesh? Yeah. I had one in the foot one time. I'll tell you what, it hurt. Oh, did it hurt? I remember one time I was working for a grocery company and I moved a pallet and a splinter went into my hand right through the splinter, big enough underneath the skin that it wasn't something you could pull back out because it was jagged. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to the doctor's office for them to cut that out and let me give me stitches. So I'm back there with my pocket knife and I'm cutting over the top of that skin. I know it. But I cut that thing enough where I could pull that. I mean, it was a big splinter. It came off of a pallet, a wooden pallet. And you know, if you've ever seen those are pretty heavy, but they also can be jagged at times. And I finally managed to get that thorn out of my flesh. Amen, because it was painful. You know, sometimes we get thorns in our flesh, and they're not always just physical thorns, but there's so many different factors that go into our walk with God. And there's things that will attack us, or there's things that we just sometimes endure as God's people. But we'll look at that a little bit more here in just a minute. But hey, can we read some scripture today? New Living Translation, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. First one, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord, our experiences. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. If you're reading the King James or New King James, he said, I knew a man. He's kind of talking in the third person narrative. But I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise. And some believe that's what it was, paradise. And heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, Paul says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times, look what Paul says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said this, my grace is all you need, or my grace is sufficient for you. My power So now, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Anybody here ever feel like you got some weaknesses in your life? I bet we all probably feel that way at times. Well, guess what? We can boast to God about the weaknesses because when we are weak, He is what? He is strong. He said, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, He is strong. Amen. You know, friends, God is faithful, isn't He? Amen. God is so faithful that when we're walking through things and we're struggling with them, God is still strong on our behalf. And God will work. You know, God will use the things that you feel like that are hindrances to you, the inabilities that you have in your life, to use them as opportunities to perfect you, to grow you, to use you for the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we think, well, God, I don't have anything to offer you. I have nothing to share with people or any platform to use to share my faith with people. But you know, friends, God will use who you are, where you're at, to relate to people who He is. I mean, that's the way God works. God wants to use you in ways that you can't even experience. Now, I want to give you three things today, and I'm going to call these three identifier things today, three identifiers that I see in this word today, that I believe God is speaking to us today through His scripture, through what happened in Paul's life. And the first identifier I want to give you today is your experiences. You know, some people live their lives on the experiences that they've been through. I mean, some people dictate their lives on the experiences that they've had, whether it was with God or whether it was without God. But a lot of people dictate their days. I used to hear that, and I'm sorry if you still watch soap operas, but I used to hear people that would watch soap operas, and what happened that day in that soap opera dictated the experiences that they would live their life out that day. Huh. You know, and maybe it's not soap operas anymore, but maybe there's other shows, or maybe there's things that you read. You know, some people use their horoscopes, or they watch things that will give them, you know, understanding of, well, who am I supposed to be, or what am I supposed to do today? And, you know, friends, can I tell you that only God knows the future? Okay. Only God knows the plans that He's laid out for your life. But, you know, we all have experiences in our life. Paul had a lot of experiences. Can I tell you that? Paul had a lot of experiences that he lived out in his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure why my iPad's not pulling when I put it there, but Paul, let me hang on just a minute. I've got some things I wanted to share with you, Lord. I'm not sure why. And I think it's because I'm not connected to the internet on my iPad. That's what it is. Hang on just a minute. I apologize, but I don't want to miss this. You want to get it?
Christ has done for me.
You see, he thought that his experiences growing up, his experiences experiences about his position of being from the tribe of Benjamin, of being a Hebrew and a Pharisee and obeying the strictest Jewish laws. He thought those things were to his benefit. And he used those things to persecute the church because he actually thought he was doing something good by getting rid of these so-called of-the-way people, these believers in Jesus Christ. But we know that Paul had a lot of experiences growing up, don't we? He had a Damascus Road experience, didn't he? We remember the story in Acts about his Damascus Road experience where the Lord revealed himself to him that night, knocked him off his horse or whatever he was riding in that moment that he had. We also remember an experience that he had in a jail cell in Philippi at midnight when him and Silas were praying and the jail shook. And you remember how the chains fell off of them? But yet in that moment, God used them to reach out to a jailer, and I believe the people that were jailed in prison with them. That was an experience he had. We also remember about an experience where he was preaching too long one night, and as a young man named Eutychus was sitting in the windowsill in the city of Troas, fell down to his death. And as he was laying, Paul walked down to that man there after he had fallen to his death, picked him up and said, "Don't worry, guys, his life is in him." What an experience. That's an experience, isn't it? We also remember about an experience when he was shipwrecked and how he went to gather some wood for the wood fire, for the fire. And as he put that wood in the fire, all of a sudden a snake jumped out and bit him on the hand. And what did he do? He just shook that old viper off in the fire, and the thing just left him. And everybody watched to see if he was going to die from the venomous poison. But what took place? He just kept sitting around talking, didn't he? What an experience. That was a man who knew what it meant to have experiences with God. And we could go on and on about his life, friends. Maybe you today, you can sit around and talk about your experiences with God. You can talk about the day you got saved. You can talk about when you got baptized in water, when you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. You can talk about the moment God healed your body or touched you, or a night you were sitting there reading your Bible and God spoke a word into your life. You can talk about experiences where God protected you while you were driving down the road. Anybody ever had any of those experiences? Amen. We've had plenty of them because we used to travel a lot with my mom and dad. There were just things that happened. Friends, there's no explanation why we are still here today. But I'm here to tell you today that, friends, our experiences are also opportunities for God to work in our lives.
Amen.
But some people identify their lives by their experiences. You know, and we can too, because we are who we are because of what Jesus has done for us. But maybe one of the crazy accounts that Paul has is one that we talked about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As we talk about these verses of scriptures about this thorn in his flesh. You see, perhaps the strangest thing is that Paul puts it in the third person, first of all, as he's talking about maybe it's somebody else. But later in verse 7, we can see that he makes it clear that he's really talking about himself. But look at this. One thing that we can see about this story is that it was obviously an experience where he went beyond his present life. Paul said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But there was something that took place in my life. You know, that was an experience. You know, you ever know people that's had out-of-body experiences? I'm not trying to get off into that today, but there are actually believers who have out-of-body experiences where they have died maybe on an operating table. We have books and movies that's been written about those things. But there are people also that just have visions and dreams. And you know, and sometimes it's like whether I'm in the body or out of body, I don't know. They were caught up maybe to, like Paul said, to the third heaven. You see, the third heaven was a reference to what the Jewish people believed that beyond the structure of the universe. You see, they believed there were three heavens. The first was the atmosphere around the earth, the clouds, etc. Then beyond that, they could see a second heaven, which was the stars, the sun, the moon. And then there was what they called the third heaven, which was the invisible realm where God's throne was. It was called paradise to them. It was what they considered an invisible dimension of life. Anybody ever seen heaven from Earth? I mean, when you look up into the blue sky or to the midnight cloud sky with the beautiful stars and the moon, and you know, you can make out planets and things like that at times, but you know, for us, the naked eye cannot see where heaven is. Is heaven so far away that we can't see it? Or is it just right there and we can't see it because it's invisible to us? We don't know, do we? One day we will. But you see, Paul had an experience. And this experience was powerful to him. See, he also tells us about the body, about this experience, is that he was in the body and he was not aware of it, or if he was out of the body, he was not aware. He had an experience of the invisible heaven, but he also had an experience that he couldn't even tell if he was in his body or out of the body. And then he also had this experience where he says that there were things so marvelous, I can't even tell you about it. Could it be, friends, that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I think we're all going to be, you know, if there's anything about surprises, I think we're all going to be surprised when we get to heaven. Yes. It's not going to be exactly like we thought it was. It's going to be more wonderful than we thought it was. It's going to be beautiful, friends. I mean, God's got things planned out for us in heaven we don't even know about. I've heard people, prophetic voices, and other people say things like that. We know what God's word says, but friends, I don't think we can describe heaven. I believe that Paul was at a point where the Bible says that he was at a point where it was unspeakable. He says, what I saw was unspeakable. One translation says it was inexpressible. Another translation might say it was indescribable. It was unimaginable. It was overwhelming. Maybe he could say this, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me anyway. Because it was unbelievable. You see, friends, those are experiences that Paul had while he was even here on the earth as he was serving the Lord faithfully. Maybe you haven't had that experience, but, you know, experiences identify who we are in this life. You know, friends, we don't necessarily let our experiences dictate us, but yet at the same time, we know that we walk sometimes in the understanding of those experiences that we've had. Paul had a wonderful experience here. And yeah, he said, I could have boasted about that. I could just go on and on and on. And I could tell you what I do know and what I can tell you. And I could share more and more about, you know, the things I do understand, although there's things I don't understand. But you know what, friends? I'm not here to boast about myself. You see, friends, our experiences aren't about us. They're about the God we serve.
Amen.
Amen. What you go through here on earth is not about you. It's about what God wants to do through you. It's what God's trying to do for you. I know there's good experiences in our life and some are bad, but even the bad experiences, we can learn from those, can't we?
Amen.
Can I be honest with you? This isn't a good experience necessarily, being in a different place when we have a beautiful building over there, but yet it's an experience that God has allowed us to walk through. It's an identification of who we are right now. And we can do one of two things with that. We can become so discouraged and mad and angry that we miss out on what God's trying to do. Or we can enjoy and embrace this moment that God has given us. I don't know how much longer it's going to be. It's been a year. Hopefully it won't be another year. Hopefully it won't be another month. But in the meantime, friends, we can embrace this experience and we can learn from it. And we can enjoy the goodness of God. You know, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. And he will comfort us and strengthen us. And his goodness, as the psalmist said at the end of that chapter 23, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You can go from Genesis to Revelation. You can pull up kings and you can pull up servants and you can pull up some of the patriarchs of our faith. And you can look at the apostles, disciples. You can look at all these men, all the women that followed Jesus Christ. And you can probably say, we know they had a good, no, they didn't. They had experiences in their lives. Some of them were good and some of them weren't. But you know, those that knew their God learned how to trust God even when they made mistakes, even when they walked through difficult times. Amen. Don't let your experiences identify who you are, but let it identify who God is in you.
Amen.
Man, have an experience with him. Take God at his word. And here's a second identifier that I see today. Give me just a few minutes. I won't try to be too long. It's not only were Paul's experiences a part of his identification, but also his thorns. He said in verse 7, even though I have received such wonderful revelations, or he can say, even though I've had such wonderful experiences from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. You know, we don't know every detail about Paul's life. We don't know everything about his character, but we do know what the Bible tells us. But yet, maybe there was always this inclination, you know, that, you know, he could have boasted on what God had done for him. He could have boasted on how he was raised. And he could have boasted of all the signs and wonders and miracles that he had seen. And he could have become proud about that. You know, if we're not careful, we can become exalted in ourselves. We can lift ourselves up in that situation. But Paul's vision was so impressive. You know, it would have been easy for him to be exalted above measure. You know, having this experience in the third heaven, things too wonderful to speak about. He could have said, you know what, I'm better than you guys. And I had an experience you haven't had. And you may never have. He said, that's how God loves me more. God cares about my situation more than yours. Yeah, oh, I know I have a past. But my past is in my past, and I'm living for God now. And God has shown his favor on me. And he could have boasted about those things. He could have exalted himself and glorified himself. And in the process, it would have pushed other people away from the relationship that God was trying to create in their own. Can I just encourage you today that what God does for you is not the same thing he does for somebody else? Now, don't get me wrong. Salvation is the same for everybody that we see that. But your experiences and your thorns are different than somebody else's. What you're struggling with may be something somebody else does. Maybe it's something that somebody else has, but it's something that you individually are walking through at this moment. So don't boast about those things that God has done for you and say, well, I must be a better Christian because God's done this for me. You know, God blesses obedience.
Yes.
He blesses faithfulness. I believe that. Yeah, I believe he blesses those who trust in him and walk in faith. But even the best of people, even the best of believers walk through difficult moments in their lives. And if we could take the time and we could gather every believer from ages past to now, they would all tell you their story of how they've walked through a moment and God has brought them out and delivered them, brought them to a place they want to be. You see, God was trying to prevent Paul, as Paul said, to be exalted above measure. So he gave them this thorn in his flesh. You know, there are different people that, you ever wonder what that thorn was? Anybody ever wonder what the thorn in Paul's flesh was? Well, Tertullian thought it was a headache or a toothache. Well, that would have been pretty easy, I guess, a toothache. I don't know, toothaches can cause you a lot of pain, friend, I'll be honest with you. Klausner believed it was epilepsy. Ramsay identified it as a recurrent malarial fever. Chrysostom said it was all the adversaries of the word. John Calvin made it a fleshly temptation. Martin Luther considered it a spiritual temptation. John Knox decided it was infirmities of the mind. Catholic commentators generally say it was lustful thoughts. McGarvey says it was an acute disfiguring ophthalmia, or he has something wrong with his eyes. McKnight spoke of some who believed it was the false teachers that followed him. Lightfoot suggested it was blasphemous thoughts of the devil. And Alexander was sure it was Malta fever. Kaufman, in his commentaries, believed it to be a malignant opposition of the secular Israel. In other words, he felt like the thorn in the flesh of Paul was the rejection of Christ on the part of God's chosen people. You know, friends, everywhere Paul went, there were always those that opposed him. And most of the time, those that opposed him were the Judaistic believers. Those that lived by the law couldn't accept what Jesus had done at the cross through grace and mercy. And they constantly sought to destroy him and kill him. And there were times his life was so much in danger. You know, but the Bible says that what? Paul pleaded with the Lord three times. In fact, one writer said Paul repeatedly prayed about this thorn in the flesh. We might imagine that when the thorn in the flesh first appeared, Paul thought, well, hey, this is no problem. You know, sometimes when you first endure a trial, you know, it's like, hey, this is no problem. I'll just give it to the Lord in prayer. But then nothing happens. So he's like, well, hey, this is going to be tougher than I thought it was, right? So I'm going to pray again. Nothing happens. So you pray again. Nothing happens. And finally, you realize that God's trying to tell you something else, right? And it's not that God didn't hear your prayers. It's that God sometimes uses your thorns to walk you through your experiences to draw you nearer to him. Some people think that Paul is using a figure of speech when he says, I saw him three times in prayer. Because in the Hebrew, the word for prayer or for three times is really a ceaselessly, continuously, over and over and over again prayer. So Paul prayed over and over and over again for God to remove this thorn from his flesh. You know, if anybody knew about thorns and experienced this, it was Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what he says here. He says, I know I sound like a madman. And this is just a chapter before. But I have served him far more. I have worked harder. Look what he says. Been put in prison more often. Been whipped times without number. I faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes, one shot of death. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to even keep me warm. Think about that, friends. Think about that. And then he says in verse 28, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. He thought you had it hard. He thought you was walking through some experiences, right? But you know what? Your experiences and your thorns are yours. And you know what? You can't compare your thorns to false thorns. Because your thorns are what God has allowed for you to endure. But friends, God is faithful. You know, if we look back at those thorns that Paul has, how many we can say is God was faithful. God was faithful through every meeting. God was faithful through every shipwreck. God was faithful through every storm. Friends, can I tell you that thorns aren't pretty and they aren't fun? And they hurt. They hurt the flesh, they hurt the spirit. Some thorns are not just, you know, some thorns are not just fleshly thorns. Some thorns are mental thorns. Some thorns are spiritual thorns. He talked about Satan. Look at me, attacking me. Send a messenger. You know, maybe that was a spiritual attack that Paul had to endure on and on throughout his ministry. We don't know. But I can tell you today, friends, that thorns sometimes are a way to identify a relationship with God. But thorns aren't to lift us up. Thorns are to lift up the one who brings us through them. And who helps us walk in those paths. You see, Paul's experiences and his thorns were identifications of who Christ was in him. Or who he was in Christ. Not who he was as a person. Because he said, I don't want to boast in myself. I just want to boast in God. And let me give you one more today. Come on up here, Jose. Here's the third identifier. I see in these scriptures. Not only was it his experiences, not only was it his thorns, but it was the word that God gave him. God had a response for Paul. Can I think, friends, God has a response for you too? The answer was not what Paul initially hoped for or expected. When he prayed to God to remove those thorns from his flesh, he was hoping God said, I'll be right down, Paul. I'll get right down to that. You're the next one on the list. I'll take care of that right now, Paul, because you have been so faithful through all these things that you have walked through. I'll get rid of this thorn. No, it wasn't what Paul hoped for because he kept praying and praying and asking God for relief from this thorn. You know, friends, we often close our ears to God if he responds in a way we did not hope for or expect. You know, Paul could have said, well, you know, if that's the way you're going to be, God, then I'm just going to turn in my license and my ordination papers. I'm going to give you my clothes back. You know, I'm just going to go back to the way it used to be. But that wasn't how Paul responded. You know, instead of removing the thorn from Paul's life, God gave him something that would keep giving him what he needed as he walked his life with his thorns. And that was what? Grace. Grace. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. What is grace? Grace is God's favor, isn't it? Grace is God's blessing. You know what grace means? Grace means we're free. Can I tell you something? You can't earn grace. You can't buy grace. You definitely don't deserve grace. But grace is just something God freely gives us. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, one of the great benefits we have is the grace of God. Can I tell you that grace makes thinking that they have. And the Jews, the leaders, put laws upon laws. There were 600 some laws they tried to make people keep day in and day out that they couldn't even keep themselves. Can you imagine trying to be perfect every day of your life, knowing that very well you can't be because you're not a perfect person? And it's not that God didn't make a mistake when he made you, it's that you live in an imperfect world. It's full of imperfects. People are full of imperfections and sins and sickness and disease. You say, well, how did God's grace make the difference? Well, first of all, God's grace made the difference because grace met Paul's needs because it expressed God's acceptance and pleasure in him. Can I tell you, when you're living under God's grace, friends, God has accepted you. And even if you're making mistakes, God still loves you and he desires to find pleasure in you. I mean, Paul walked in that grace, friends. Even though he was shipwrecked and beaten and stake bitten and jailed and stoned and all these things that he went through, God's grace was on him. How many times did he walk out of a beating? How many times did he walk out of a shipwreck? How many times did he shake off a snake in the fire? How many times did God just over and over again say, you know, Paul, look, my grace is upon you. I've got this. If you'll just follow me. You see, grace means that God likes us. Aren't you glad God likes you? Grace means God likes you, that he is favorably disposed towards you, and that we have his approval and promise of his care. I'm going to be honest with you, I've disappointed my dad many times. I know I did. If my dad was here today, he could probably answer in that affirmative. I've disappointed my earthly dad many times. And I'll be honest with you, I've disappointed my heavenly father many times. I know I've hurt him. I know I've said and done things that don't please him. But can I tell you that my earthly father, he never left me nor forsook me. He still loves me. And he cares for me. And today, friends, he loves you and cares for you. And if you've made a mistake, don't give up the goal. Don't beat yourself up. Just come to him and confess your faults. Ask for repentance. Say, Daddy, I made a mistake. I need some grace. I need some grace. You see, grace is so powerful because grace could meet Paul's need because it was always available. That grace is always available. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price for us. And can I tell you, friends, that fountain of blood, it never runs dry. Oh, there is a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's vein. Friends, it never runs dry. There's a river of life full of the grace of God, and all you gotta do is run through his grace and receive it. You see, grace is also powerful because it can meet Paul's need because it was the very strength of God. Where does true grace come? It comes from God. And our God is a strong God, a mighty God. He's a faithful God. He's a powerful God. He's an omniscient, omnipresent. Amen. He knows everything. He sees everything. Amen. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. Can I just say today that some people build their faith on experiences? Others live out their faith according to their thorns. Some people walk with a thorn and say, woe is me. Oh, don't you pity for me. Friends, if you've got a thorn in your flesh, don't let that thorn dictate your worship of God, but let your worship of God dictate who you are over your thorns. Don't let people see a lot of people can visibly see whatever that thorn was in Paul's flesh, unless it was something spiritual. There was probably something visible about it. But Paul didn't let the visible thorn overcome the visible God in his life. If God is for me, who can be against me, right? Amen. So don't build your faith on your experiences. Don't let your thorns dictate your walk with God. But let God's word lead you in your relationship with him. You see, there are those who take God's word just as it is. Can I tell you today, friends, that you can take God at his word? You know, the one assurance Paul had is that God said, if you look at that scripture, the Lord said it, right? And then God said, my grace There's a song that's been written, and Lord, I both love to listen to this song, and it's called Take You At Your Word by Cody Carnes and Benjamin Hastings. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your way is the only way for me. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I want to be all that. It's a narrow road, but the mercy's wide, because you're good on your promise. So I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I'll believe it. I've seen how good it works. If you start it, you'll complete it. I'll take you at your word. Can I just encourage you, friends, to take God at his word? Walk in his grace. Come on, walk in his grace. Come on, can I just ask you to stay with me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you are dealing with some thorns today. Maybe there's just some things that are just irking you and just wearing you out, and you're trying to walk out your plan that God has for you. You're just struggling. You're struggling in your spirit. You're struggling in your faith. You're struggling in your body, your finances, because it's just a difficult moment in your life, and those thorns are getting you down. Maybe some of you are still trying to live off experiences you had already. Maybe you're trying to honor God today with something that happened 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, or even yesterday or last week. God wants to give you new experiences, but it's not about the experiences. It's about God's grace and about God's word and about God's favor in your life. And I'm so thankful for every experience I had. You ought to just tell God, thank you for those things that you've always given me. But today, I just want to encourage you and challenge you today. Say, Lord, it's not about what I've been through or what I'm going through, but it's about who you are today. And today I believe your word. Come on, will you just take a moment and say, Lord, I believe your word. You're for me, not against me. Your grace is more than enough. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. But God, it's a free gift that you've given me because you love me, in spite of my failures, in spite of my faults. You love me. You care for me. Jesus, you died for me. And you have a plan for me. And Lord, I thank you for every experience. I thank you for these thorns that I'm dealing with. But God, I thank you most of all that you're bigger than the thorns. You're bigger than my experiences. And even though I can't explain it or understand it, I know that you're God and you're good. And I trust you today. I trust you today. Come on, just would you give it to the Lord today? Just give everything that you're walking through today to the Lord. Give your thorns to the Lord. He might not remove that thorn, but in the midst of that thorn, you can still give God praise. You can trust God. You can believe that God will take care of you. He'll walk you through it. Don't let the thorn dictate your relationship today. Don't let your experiences dictate your relationship today. But let God's word lead you and guide you. Father, I praise you today, Lord. You are here. I believe you're moving in our midst today. Lord, we worship you.